As always, when the choir sings, I hope that it inspires you to worship with us as we sing. It's kind of a new song we're going to sing this morning. It's called What a Beautiful Name. So if you know this song, if you've heard it on the radio, worship with us this morning and sing along with us.
No equal, now and forever. Well, good morning. I don't know why, but today I'm a whole lot more nervous than I was last week, but that's okay. Always just have to thank Pastor Vince for another opportunity to stand behind the pulpit and preach. It's always an honor, and like I said last week, who Pastor Vince chooses to fill his pulpit, I know that's a great responsibility. So I just wanted to thank you again for this opportunity. So we're going to be in 1 John. So we're going to be in 1 John chapter 1. And last week we looked at 1 John, we looked at the first four verses. And if you're here last week, you remember that we talked about just the importance of knowing who Jesus is, of having that right understanding of who Jesus really is. And today, we're going to build off of that a little bit. So just to remind you, John, he was one of Jesus' 12 disciples. He was actually one of the three core disciples that Jesus spent a great deal of his time with. So he knew Jesus. If anyone knew the identity of who Jesus was, it would have been John. And John, he was writing this letter to the churches in Asia Minor, so modern-day Turkey, to combat this false teaching of Gnosticism. There are some other things, but Gnosticism really was the main false teaching. And I can sum that up for you in two main points. So Gnosticism says that anything that is physical, all matter, so if you can touch it, if it's physically real, like this pulpit, it's evil. So all matter is evil. And then the second big point of Gnosticism was that salvation is a mystical and a secretive knowledge, that it's this thing, salvation, forgiveness, it's something that we can't really know. It's mystical, it's secretive. And so John, he completely disagreed with this, and so he wrote this letter. He's like, hey, I'm going to set the record straight. So in the first four verses of 1 John, he just straight up talks about who Jesus is. He's like, Jesus is not some, you know, spirit that came to earth. He was human. He's fully God. He's fully man. And he was completely going against this idea that anything that is matter is evil because Jesus was, he was human. This Gnosticism, they were denying the humanity of Jesus because Jesus couldn't be human because he's evil. He would be evil if he was human. But Jesus being fully God and fully man is foundational to our salvation. Because if he was just fully God, but he wasn't just like us, then he couldn't have been our substitute. But if he was just man, if he wasn't 100% God, then he couldn't have been that perfect substitute. So John wanted to start this letter off with, do you know who Jesus is? Do you have that good understanding of who Jesus is? But when we truly know Jesus, when we understand who Jesus is, when we have that right relationship with him, it is impossible for us to not see in our own lives the reality of sin. When you come in contact with Jesus, when you meet God in the flesh, when you meet Jesus and for all he is, for all his glory and his splendor, you have to be confronted with the sin in your life. And so the second point that John was tackling to this church, was trying to get across to them, was the reality of sin. Now John, he had four purposes of writing this letter. He wanted to promote joy. He wanted to prevent sin. He wanted to protect from false teaching. And he wanted to provide an assurance of salvation. And so today we're going to talk about that second purpose, which is to prevent sin. And in order to do that, he had three reoccurring themes. A right belief in Jesus, right obedience to God's commands, and right love for one another. In the setting of the church that John is writing to, sin had creeped in to the church. Now, not just that people in the church were sinning. That wasn't what was happening, because we're all sinners. Every single one of us in this room, we have probably sinned today. We're all sinners. So it wasn't the problem that just the people were sinning, but they were struggling with an indifference to the morality of sin. See, to them, they just didn't see the gravity of what sin was. Because they were being taught that, hey, Jesus wasn't, he wasn't human. And so this idea that Jesus isn't human, it takes away the moral standard for how we should live our lives. If Jesus was man, then he came and he lived as a perfect man. And if there was a perfect man, that means we have a standard that we have to achieve. And so Jesus being fully God and fully man, it shows us our goal, but also shows us how we fall short. But the church that he was writing to, they didn't care. They didn't have the weight of what their sin was. And so John was trying to get them to see the gravity of sin, and so they could understand that in their lives. So we're going to look at the reality of sin this morning. So if you're willing and you're able, I want to ask if you would stand with me as we read from 1 John. We're going to read verses 5 through verse 2 of chapter 2. So let's read together. This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for those of the whole world. Let's pray this morning. Dear God, we just thank you so much for your word. God, we thank you that in all areas of our life, we can turn to the scripture and you can teach us. And God, that you address everything that we deal with this morning. And God, we know that sin is not an easy topic to discuss because it confronts all of us. And God, I just pray that this morning, even as I'm preaching to myself, God, that you would let me stay true to what your word says, that you would not let me be the one that is speaking, but that every word will come from you and from your scripture. And God, we love you and we thank you for all that you do. And teach us this morning, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So, in addressing the reality of sin, the first thing that John brings up is the reality that sin opposes God. So if you look at verse 5, it says, "This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all." John describes God as light, saying that there is no darkness, there is no blemish, there is no spot. He is light. And our character as humans, who we are supposed to be, should be based off of the character of God. Because in Genesis, we see that we are made in God's image. So when we want to look at our character, we want to look at our morality to see if we're good, are we bad. All of that is based off of who God is, because we are made in his image. And we see very clearly that John says God is light. Now, this idea of light, it shows us the splendor and the glory of God. Can you think of anything more glorious and more beautiful than waking up early in the morning, going outside, sitting on your porch, and seeing the sunrise? Seeing the sun as it appears in the sky and it breaks through the darkness and all of its glory and its majesty and its splendor, you see the beauty. That's the image that John wanted his people to see. God is light. He's glorious. He's wonderful. He's beautiful. And he's everything that is good and holy. And you know, another thing about light is revealing. You know, darkness is the absence of light. So if somewhere is dark, it's because there's not light. But when you turn a light on, you can see everything that is in that room. And when we think about God being light, we see that God, he is self-revealing. He wants to be seen. You don't cut on a light and hope that no one sees it. You don't light a candle and put stuff around it so no one can see it. And even if you try your best, it's still going to be seen. Because the purpose of light is to be seen. It's to reveal what's not there. And so we see that God, he reveals who he is. There's no secrets about who God is. We know God and can know God through his word. There's no secrets. And he wants to be known because he's light. We also see God's purity and his holiness. See, John described him as light, but he also said, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. He's not darkness. See, darkness covers evil. You think about most of the crime and bad things that happen. It happens at night. Darkness is used to cover evil. It's used to hide things. But God is light, only light. There is no darkness. He's holy. He's pure. We also see from God being light that he guides us. Everyone knows the verse, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God is light. He guides us. But the most important thing that I want to bring out about God being light is how the revealing quality of God's presence in our life is that he reveals and exposes our sin. Since God is light and there's no darkness in him, when he enters into our life, he exposes all of the darkness that is there. All of our flaws, all of our sins, all our failures. God being light destroys all of that. And he reveals our sin. Sin is not something that can exist with God because he is light. There was a poet and a hymn writer, J.G. Whittier, and I want to read just a few lines. He says, our thoughts lie open to thy sight and naked to thy glance. Our secret sins are in light of thy pure countenance. There is nothing that God's light does not reveal. There is nothing that you have done, no sin, nothing that he does not know about, because he is pure light. There's no darkness in him, and his light exposes all things. So this reality of sin, that it opposes everything that God is, was so important for John to get these believers to understand, because they were thinking, hey, it's okay. I can sin. Jesus has forgiven me. Sound familiar? I can do what I want, but God can forgive me? No. John wanted them to know God is light and there is no darkness in him. And yes, he exposes your sin and light can destroy that sin, but it's still sin. It's still darkness. He needed them to understand that, yes, even though they have forgiveness, their sin is still opposite to everything that God is. And we can never know the depth that life has fallen to, or the height that we can even rise to, until we see that in light of who God is. It's by God's light that we see the reality of how the darkness of sin has crippled us. So in dealing with the reality of sin, we need to remember that sin is opposite of everything that God is. The second reality is that sin, it cripples humanity. It's opposite to who God is, but sin cripples humanity. In verses 6 through 10, we see this spelled out a little bit further. So in verse 6 it says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. See, John, he brings up three false appeals, three lies that these early believers were saying about their sin, but when we look at it, we can see how it's true for us today. And this first lie that we see in verse 6, it was people that claimed to have a fellowship with God, but they lived apart from God in their sin. Looking at verse 6 again, it says, if we say we have fellowship with God, yet we walk in darkness, we lie. We lie. John said this person does not possess the truth because obviously this person has not been cleansed from their sin. They say that they believe in God. They say they follow Jesus, but in their actions, in their words, in the way they live their life, they're proving that they don't. See, this was a lie to other people. It's easy for me to say, yes, I believe in Jesus, I'm a Christian, but when no one's looking, I'm going to, you know, look at what I want to, or the internet, or I'll go and drink whatever I want to, or smoke whatever I want to, or talk however I want to when no one else is around. But to others, I'll claim to be a Christian. They're saying one thing while believing another. But John, he was exposing this because he said, if we say that we have fellowship with him, but we walk in darkness, we are liars. In verse 7, he goes on to say, but if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. See, if we truly have that relationship with Jesus that we claim, it doesn't say that we're going to walk in darkness, but it says we will walk in the light as he is the light. That we will have a fellowship with others. See, sin, when it enters our life from the day that we're born, it seeks to sow discord. Discord with God and discord with others. Just think about your sin in your own life. Even if it's something that no one else knows. Right? I'm thinking about things in my life that I've done that only I know about. But even though I'm the only one that knew about it, I immediately broke that relationship with God every time that I sin. But then it starts to break my relationship with others. Because I try to do things and say things to hide what I did, even though they don't know about it. You may have no idea, but I'm going to act a little bit extra. I'm going to dress up a little bit nicer for church the next Sunday because I want to look better for y'all. Even though you don't know why I'm doing it, I'm just going to be a little bit extra. Or I'll give a little bit more in the offering plate. Or I'll speak a little bit more Jesus-y because I want you to think I'm this good Christian. But it causes us to change and to lie, and we start building ourselves up, and that always leads us to fall. And I know you can even think in your own lives right now that your sin, or even the sins of others, has broken relationships. It's broken friendships. It may have caused you to leave a church or to join another church or whatever it may be. Sin breaks fellowship. But if we walk in the light, it says we will have fellowship with one another. So this sin that cripples humanity, the first evidence we can see is just in all of our broken relationships. But there's also another lie. We see that in verse 8. It says, if we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. See, this is a denial that we do anything wrong. It says, if we say we have no sin, I don't sin. I'm not a sinner. It's denying that we've ever done anything wrong. It's denying and rejecting what the Bible teaches about all of us having a sin nature. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned. And so for us to say, hey, I don't sin. I'm a good person. We are rejecting what the scripture teaches. It's a lie to ourselves. You know, some people lie to others about their sins. They want to act like they don't sin, even though we know that we're all sinners. They want to act like they're better, but some people lie to themselves. Some people don't want to confront their own sin, so they act like they don't. Some people, yeah, I may have told a lie, but it was a white lie. It was a little lie. It wasn't sin. Yeah, I got mad at this person and I haven't talked to them for a week, but they deserved it. They were mean to me. That's not sin. Yeah, I may have been with this person outside of marriage and done things that I shouldn't, but I love them. I want to marry them, so it's okay. It's not sin. We lie to ourselves and try to minimize sin. Oh, they just made a mistake. No, they sinned against the holy God. We need to call sin what it is and not lie to ourselves. Don't lie to others, but don't lie to yourself. The beauty about how John confronts this lie in verse 8 is verse 9. In verse 8, he says, if we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confess, it comes from a Greek word that means to say the same thing. It means that we say the same thing about sin that God says about sin. That we call sin for what it is. We don't try to cover it up. We don't try to say, okay, I just told a white lie or I just did this one little thing. But to confess our sins means we say about sin what God says about sin. And that when we do that, when we're willing to look at sin the way God looks at sin, the Bible says that he is faithful and righteous to forgive us. And not just to forgive us, but to cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. John is appealing to them to see just how dangerous sin is. And to not try to hide it, but to confess it. To tackle it head on so that they can be forgiven. But we see the final lie. In verse 10 it says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. See, this is a denial that there is sin in our lives. Like, it's just a flat out calling God a liar. It's a lie about God. And so when we try to take away how sin cripples us, how sin affects each and every one of us, we start by lying to others, then we lie to ourselves, but then we begin to lie about God and just flat out denying that we don't sin. We know that even though Jesus, when he died on the cross and he rose from the grave, he satisfied God's wrath on every believer's sin. That sin nature still remains in every person. And the Christian must realize that there must be a desire to continue in a relationship with God. And how we do that is by confessing our sin. Not just saying a prayer, hey, God, forgive me, but confessing it with each other. That's a hard thing for us to do, but sharing our sins with each other so that we can help build each other up. If I'm struggling with something and you guys have no idea about it, how can you pray for me? How can you help me? How can you lift me up? You can't do it. We're to confess our sins to each other and to God. And the Bible says that we will be forgiven. The last point I want to make about the reality of sin is that sin is defeated. Sin is defeated through Jesus. You know, many times it'd be easy to read this and just stop at verse 10 of chapter 1. But it's actually one big paragraph. It keeps going to verse 2 of chapter 2. Because John says, all right, sin is real, it's here, it's devastating. But there's hope. In 1 John 2, verses 1 and 2, it says, my little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. See, Jesus, he defeated sin. First, Jesus is our advocate. The Greek there literally means someone that is at our side. So kind of like an attorney, someone that is defending your case. He is there even when we sin, even when we mess up. He is there advocating on our behalf. Because Jesus, he's sinless. He's spotless in his nature and in his actions. And there's no one else like him. And Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verses 26 through 27, that Jesus is our intercessor. He talks to God for us. And he goes on later in chapter 8 to say that there's nothing that can separate us from God's love. So yes, we are still going to sin, because sin is a reality for every believer, for every person. But when we sin, we have an advocate that's perfect and holy. And he is also our atonement. Verse 2 says, he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not only for ours only, but for the sin of the whole world. See, this word propitiation, it's a very big word and it's hard to say. I can get tripped up on it really easy, but it's this idea of satisfaction. That when Jesus died on the cross, God was satisfied. And his desire for judgment on sin. When Jesus died, that was it. That satisfied God's need for punishment. And the Bible says when we sin, if we would just confess that sin, that he will forgive us. The end of verse 2, it says, not only for our sins, but also for those of the whole world, God made a way for all sin. For all sin to be forgiven. Yes, he says earlier that we must confess our sin, that we have to take that step, that we have to confess our sin, but God made a way for all sin. We just have to take that step. So my question for you this morning is, do you understand the reality of sin in your life? First, do you understand that every time that you sin, every time that you think a thought that you shouldn't, every time that you do an action that you shouldn't, you're going against who God is? That you are defiling a holy God? That your sin is complete opposite of who God is? Do you understand the reality of sin? That you can't run from sin. That you are surrounded by sin. That in your very nature, in the core of who you are a sinner. And that without Jesus to defeat the sin in your life, that you are hopeless. Because sin is always going to be there. It's always going to be a battle. And I can't go around thinking that I am above that. I can't go around and forget that without God providing me with that breastplate of righteousness that protects my heart, I would just be destroyed by sin. But every time I'm attacked, every time I'm hit, I have that righteousness of Christ surrounding me. And I don't need to take it lightly when I sin. But I need to confess it and I need to repent and walk in the light. So this morning, there may be people here that have some sin in your life that you haven't confessed. I plead to you, don't wait. Maybe it's sin with someone else. Maybe it's sin just that you and God know. Don't leave this place without confessing it. Or maybe you're here this morning and you've never chose to follow Jesus and you're just living in your sin. Today could be the day that you turn to him for the first time and say, I need you, Jesus. Because sin is real, and the punishment for sin is real, and it is a reality for us. So this morning, as Miss Debbie comes, think about how you've dealt with sin in your life. Would you stand as we pray? Dear God, we just thank you so much for, God, your word, and God, how it speaks to us, even when it's difficult. And God, I pray that you will not let us take sin lightly, that we will not think that sin is not important, that when we sin that it doesn't break your heart, God, but that we would see that sin is something that we need to seek and strive to defeat every day. And God, I pray that you will just help us to confess those sins to you. Be with us now in this time, in Jesus' name, amen.